Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 21st of February, recording at 9:11 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights. Asia, pretty strong stock markets. The Nikkei up 3% in here today. And that's a big percentage move, but you know, at these levels, it doesn't look like all that much on the chart, but it is in response to that short-term oversold condition. And many of the other Asian markets were quite firm. India testing its highs once again. Australia, which had been ranging lower over the previous 2 to 3 weeks, sort of breaking down out of that, breaking up out of that ranging phase, bouncing, also bounced from a bit of initial technical support. And generally steady action. The European markets responded very favorably to bellwether Japan, but those gains were then paired by softness on Wall Street, which also started up, but then reversed those gains in a bit more. Government bonds, I haven't really been following those. So can I see anything on the screen in here? Just a little bit weaker in here today. Dollar had steadied but gave up most of those gains. I've been saying the dollar and looks a little bit tired recently. Precious metals, some good firmness here, particularly platinum, which pushed ahead really quite strongly. I did go back in and buy a little gold and silver. Gold position is slightly larger, but it's the less volatile commodity overall. I'm not going to do anything silly in here in terms of big positions at this stage of the cycle. Cascade effect that I've mentioned previously is only an event away. And I'm going to be a little cautious here. However, I was less cautious in natural gas. I saw that up a couple of hundred points or so here this morning, and it's so overstretched on the chart. And so I did finally pick up my fourth unit. That's what I had allocated. I had allocated four equal units to this particular trade sequence. And I was only holding three in what has been an expensive trade. But the natural gas closed up nearly, it's trading nearly 600 points up on the day, including the after hours trading. So that's reduced deficit on the sequence of trades by about a fifth. Could use a few more days like that, and may well see it actually, because the temperatures the forecasts rather for temperatures in the northeastern part of the United States and also the mid-Atlantic states have plunged as of next Sunday and Monday. Okay, what else to mention? I think that's pretty much it. Did I say just generally firm metals in here? I only mentioned the precious metals. The industrial metals are strong also, with the exception of tin, which has had a little bit of a breather. It's been quite firm recently. Copper, nice rebound there today as well. Okay, let's get back now to these stock markets. And what am I actually seeing? Well, we were looking at a lot of new highs here today on European markets. Not all of those were maintained. I suppose this rally could last, well, take it in terms of seasonal factors. I've been saying best case scenario is that markets stay strong through the first quarter of this year. But you know that old adage, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't, of sell in May and go away. So, you know, the rally could have enough momentum to to hold up a bit longer. But I do suspect, as I've said previously, that we are in the early, and I emphasize that word, early stages of an overall gradual topping out process. That won't, markets won't all turn together, of course, but I think it's quite likely that we have seen the medium-term high in the Japanese stock market, which I've described as a bellwether here. Really, increasingly since July last year, Japan's been a bellwether, and my feelings in this are partly intuitive, but they're also influenced by the interest rate cycle. They're certainly influenced by the duration of this overall rally, all things that you've heard me say before. But there's certainly no need to panic in here. And anyone who says, well, look, David, I think this rally might last until at least May, can point to plenty of evidence to support that case. So I'm feeling quite relaxed about my investment portfolio overall, and I've been a little nervous about my hedge shorts, which weren't all that large, but they were losing me money. Those are the shorts that I put on a short while ago. And one never likes losing money, or I don't at any rate. I'm feeling a little less nervous about them in here after today's action. I may well hold on to those for a while longer, but I'm in no hurry to increase them. And what else to mention here? Government bonds, although down a little bit today, they have been generally a bit steady in here recently. I think to get a decent rally, we would have to see quite a sharp sell-off in stock markets. So that's a real possibility, as I've said before, for the second and third quarters of this year. In terms of the dollar, having seen this technical rally, we're up in territory which should make any additional gains, if they're seen, if they occur, harder to maintain. And I expect predominantly an overall ranging pattern. I certainly don't think the dollar is going to fall out of bed when people are still wondering if we're going to get at least another 50 basis points of interest rate hikes. So the interest rate cycle, as I've said over and over and over again, still favors the dollar, but we're likely to see the dollar actually peaking, and I think it probably peaked, as I've said before, in November. We're likely to see the dollar peak well ahead of a peak in the US interest rate cycle because of that discounting mechanism. I think that the market's guess as to where short-term interest rates in the US are going is as good as, in other words, your guess or my guess is as good as the Fed's guess, because it would make sense that they do not know how far interest rates are going to move higher. If the US economy looks firm, then Bernanke and Co. at the Fed will nudge rates up at least another 50 basis points. On the other hand, if we were to get a clear deterioration in the economic data, and there certainly has been some softening in the housing sector, which will be extremely important for the Fed. You can bet they're monitoring that closely. It's monitoring that closely. And so deterioration in the data, beyond just a well, enough to establish a trend beyond a month, would stay their hand, as would a stock market correction. But in the meantime, we still have moderately accommodative interest rates and plenty of liquidity sloshing around in the system, and that is helping to cushion downside for pretty well all markets. And the precious sector, which has shown some improved technical action here in the last few days. Veteran subscribers will note that I'm much, much less aggressive at these levels, partly because of a concern about a possible cascade effect that I have described before, where pretty well, where we get a sharp reactions in a number of high-flying markets and some rebounds in depressed markets. I've written about that a little bit here today in the comment of the day, but I'll be posting the audio before I complete the comment. And also, the technical action, given the previous gains that we'd seen in precious metals, they're not steel. So I've been much less aggressive in terms of going in and picking up on any weakness that's actually shown or actually seen. And I will not establish large speculative positions in this environment. I might add a little nickel to my portfolio if stock markets seem to be holding up reasonably well and metal prices in general remain quite firm. I certainly don't think the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme is dying out. And have a look at that Baltic Dry Index, that shipping index that I will be posting in here today. And I had an interesting email on that. As well, alerting me to the continued improvement in that index. So I certainly don't think that, again, as I was saying, that the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme is going to end, although there are an awful lot of people who are anxious to bury it and have put out extremely bearish comments on commodities. And that's probably a contrary indicator, unless they're looking for a sort of a medium-term correction, and those are pretty well inevitable after very, very strong runs. But I'm talking about the big story here, the big supply and elasticity meets rising demand story is about the secular trend, which I think is going to go on for many, 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 many years. And natural gas, well, we had that freakishly warm January in the United States, and that carried into the Well, it's really carried right into the first 2 weeks for sure of February, and then temperatures sort of slid back close to normal. But I've been looking at the 7-day forecasts, which are published daily, and that shows, as I mentioned at the beginning, quite a cold snap for Sunday and Monday next week. If that continues, and that's sort of in the hands of the gods, but if that were to continue, natural gas could see quite a rebound from these depressed levels, having seen it come all the way back down and nestle into the upper regions of the large multi-year base formation. Crude oil generally firm in here today, up above $60, $61 overall. Now, if we were to see crude rally back up towards that $70 level at a time when a lot of people have been talking about it moving back down to 50 or even lower, that would create another, or yes, that would create another headwind for global stock markets. And I think that's covered most relevant bases in here. More tomorrow, and I'll be recording earlier than usual because I have another concert. All the best.